So I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read through the whole thing once, and then we're going to kind of break everything down. Okay, I'm sure most everybody in here has probably heard quotes from this chapter. Maybe you've gone to a wedding and you've heard it said. I just want you to know that this chapter has a special place in my heart, because back when I was in high school at Clinton Christian Academy, when it was open, to be on honor roll, you had to memorize an entire chapter of scripture every month. And this was one of those chapters that I had to memorize in the King James, if I remember right. I am not reading from the King James this morning, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's read it. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only as a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, God. Lord, I ask that you would open the eyes of our heart, open the ears of our heart, give us eyes to see and ears to hear the word that you have for us, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would till up the soil of our hearts this morning, that your word would be planted in fertile soil, that it might produce fruit within our lives, not only for ourselves, but for our families and for our children and for our coworkers and for everywhere that we go, that others might reap from the fruit of the word that is planted in our hearts this morning, God. Lord, let us never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the things that I absolutely love about Faith Church is coming together on Sunday morning and watching everybody operate in their gifts, watching everybody operate in their calling, watching everybody, different people from different places, from different walks of life, all come together to worship the one true God and then to operate in what God has called them to, into what God has equipped them with, into what God has blessed them with. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. But Paul is telling us here in 1 Corinthians, we can have all of those gifts. We can speak in tongues. We can have words of prophecy. We can have all of these things, but there is going to come a day when all of those things are going to go away. But there is one thing that will not, and it is love. So as I was thinking about this scripture, as I was praying about this message, I was just thinking, what is love? What does love look like? And I ask that question to you. I want you to think that in your own head. What does love look like? What does love look like to you? What does love look like in your family? What does love look like in your neighborhood? And each one of you is thinking a different answer right now, because to each one of us, love looks just a little bit different. There's a really good book out there. If you're married, you've maybe heard of it, and maybe you've read it. It's called The Five Love Languages. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, there's a few of us. I'm here to tell you today, though, he missed the mark. It's okay, we've all fallen, you know. But there's a sixth love language. It's food. All right? It's food. So the six love languages. There's different love languages. Why? Because love looks different for every single one of us. So what is love? You know, there's even different contexts of love. That's why if you go back to the original language of God's word, there's a lot of different words for love. But there's a romantic love. There's a parental love. There is a brotherly love. There is so many different types of love that we can feel, that we can express. And sometimes it feels like we're going to burst. Right? But what does love look like? And then I got to thinking, what does the world think love looks like? And kind of what I felt God speaking to me and just kind of what I observe as I watch the world around me is that I think the best word to sum up what the world would call love, they don't use the word love, it's toleration. It's all about toleration. Oh, we just gotta get along with those people. They're not like us, but we gotta accept them. We gotta let them do their thing. They can believe the way they wanna believe. As long as it doesn't affect the way I believe, they can do what they want. Toleration. And so then I decided, you know, I'm gonna ask ChatGPT because it knows everything. And ChatGPT tells me that today's cultural message, here's some of the bullet points that it gave me: authenticity. Be true to yourself. And this is what it says. It said authenticity, and then in quotations, be true to yourself. I've got kids. We watch a lot of movies, a lot of Disney movies, you know, and the message is almost always the same. You could be whatever you want to be. Trust yourself. Follow your heart. Follow your dreams. The message behind that word, authenticity, is a great thing. Authenticity is a God thing. But the world skews it. And says, just be true to yourself. Be whoever you want to be. God's word says, be who I want you to be. And live authentically in the gifting and the calling that I've placed on your life. The next thing it told me is tolerance. Toleration. Accept everyone as they are. You know, been hearing this name a lot lately, but Charlie Kirk, I recently... You know, I'm sure everybody's getting it. We're just constantly, his videos are everywhere now. But I recently saw one of him talking about John chapter 8. And he said he loved John chapter 8 because it was the perfect image of Jesus' love that yes, there's a bit of toleration, if I even want to use that word here, right? As the accusers are coming against this woman and they're all ready to cast their stones, and Jesus says, hey, he who is without sin, you go ahead and cast the first stone. And then he comes up to the woman after they all left because nobody could do it. And Jesus tells her, I also don't condemn you. God's love, God's grace, but it doesn't stop there. And that's where the world wants us to stop. Hey, it's okay. You could be whatever you want to be. God's love is enough. Do whatever you want. God's love is enough. But Jesus then said, go and sin no more. Equal parts working in tandem. Yes, it's grace, but it's also taking that grace and walking in the empowerment of that grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. We no longer have to walk in the shambles that we left. Now we walk in the riches that Christ paid for us. The next thing that ChatGPT told me is empowerment. You have all the power to create your own future. He has all the power. Because I could tell you, I may have made the decision in the third grade that I was going to be a pastor, but that was not within my power to do. It's all him. There's a few more, but as I go, it was so funny to me as I'm reading this, the key words they're using, these are godly words, but the world skew them. They take them and they twist them. The next one was individual freedom. You define your own truth, your identity, your path. No, you don't. You can tell yourself that. You can watch enough Disney movies and get the butterflies in your stomach and feel like it's true. But God's word says that he knit you together in your mother's womb and that he has a plan for you. And then it said progress and change. And then in quotation, the future should be better than the past. Challenge old systems. Jesus came to challenge the old system, and he made a new one, and we're still living in it today. And there is no one on earth that can challenge the system that Jesus brought for us today. Amen? And then there was like a bonus on there. This one wasn't one of the bullets. It was just kind of underneath everything else. It said, AI also said, tolerance, there's that word again, tolerance, is a fundamental principle of peace. Again, God word, peace. It's not about toleration. It's about the family of God. It's about everybody from all walks of life, from every background, from every sin, coming underneath the blood of Jesus, coming into the family of God, being adopted in, as we read this morning at breakfast tables. Now we're heirs with Abraham. We're children of Abraham. We may not be Jewish. We may not be part of that nationality, but we are part of this nationality because of Jesus. As I was thinking about toleration, I was reminded of a quote from Pastor Mark Driscoll, because I think he feels about the same way I do about toleration. His words are pretty strong. I'm going to read them to you here, okay? Mark Driscoll says, "What you tolerate today, you will celebrate tomorrow." When the church tolerates what Jesus commands us to repent of, it doesn't become holy. It becomes demonic. It's not about toleration. It's about love. Love in the sense of God's word. Love in the sense that he lays out for us in the word of God. The incorruptible, indispensable, ever-living seed of God's word planted in our heart. So obviously, toleration is not what God means by love. Rather, I think it looks more like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, where God is talking about humility and patience, and then he says to bear with one another in love. He doesn't say put up with one another because you got to tolerate them. He says to love them, to be patient, to be humble, and to bear with one another in love. Not toleration, love. So again, I ask you, what does love look like? What does love look like to you? And then I wonder, I'm going to take it a step further, not just what does love look like to you, but what does loving people with the love of God look like to you? Because that might be a little bit different. What does loving the people around you, whether it be your children, whether it be your siblings, your parents, your neighbors, your coworkers, wherever it is that you do life in the spaces and the places that God has placed you and entrusted you to, what does loving those people with the love of God look like? And then I wonder, and I don't have to wonder too hard because we got this awesome thing right here that tells us, what did it look like for Jesus to love? What did it look like for Jesus to love? You know, I think of John chapter 15. I'm just throwing all kinds of stuff up here this morning. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. And Jesus says this, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love." So Jesus is telling us, remain in my love, and then he tells us how. Keep my commands. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father in heaven will give to you. This is my command, love each other. Love, that was Jesus' command, love. And he says, hey, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And then what did he say his command is to love one another. Not to tolerate, not to just put up with, not to just, oh, well, everybody's going to do whatever they want. No, to love each other. In that passage, Jesus was making some reference as to what was about to take place, right? He was making some reference about the fact that he would physically lay his life down for you and for me. Greater love, he says, greater love has no one than this. And sometimes I think, you know, we think about that scripture and we can apply it to different things. You know, we can, sometimes I've seen it applied to like military members and stuff like that. But here's the thing is, I don't think in our daily, day in and day out life, that the greatest love, right, is not necessarily about laying down my life physically for you. But it's, am I willing to daily live my life in service for you? Because yes, it came to a point that Jesus physically laid his life down. But if you look at his life, if you look at his ministry all throughout the Gospels, he lived his life daily in service to the people around him. Constantly loving people, just like that woman who didn't deserve it. Who according to the law deserved stones. But he loved. And he loved deeply. You know, I think sometimes we think about that and we can be like, oh, yeah, I'd lay my life down for, you know, my best friend, or I'd lay my life down for my spouse, or I'd lay my life down for, you know, one of our fellow church members. But will you lay your life down in service day in and day out for them? Will you choose to love them by your actions every single day, moment by moment, even on the days you don't feel like it, even on the days that they make you mad? Yes, Jesus laid down his life in death, but he lived his daily life in service, loving everyone. He allowed interruptions. He welcomed the children, which in that day you didn't really do. It was be quiet, stay out of sight, stay out of mind, right? You don't know what you're talking about yet. You haven't been trained. Just be quiet and stay in the corner. Some of you grew up that way too. But he welcomed the children. He allowed interruptions. He stood up for those who couldn't stand up for themselves. He spoke for those who couldn't speak for themselves. He healed the sick. He set the captives free. He lived his life daily in service to the people around him because he loved. What does the love of Jesus look like? This is what it looks like. It looks like standing up for someone who can't stand up for themselves. It looks like allowing the interruptions. I don't know how many of you guys in here have, you know, minor road rage issues, but we got to allow the interruptions. Maybe there's a reason that construction's going on and God has slowed me down today. Maybe there's a reason that farmer got in front of me and slowed me down today. Maybe there's a reason I'm at the grocery store and the line is wrapped around the store and it ain't even Black Friday yet. Maybe God is trying to slow me down. Maybe there's somebody there who needs prayer. Maybe there's somebody there who God needs me to serve, who God needs you to serve. Maybe there's sick that needs healed. Maybe there's a captive that needs set free by the power of Jesus that you carry with you if you call on the name of Jesus everywhere you go. I was thinking about that this morning. I said God just kept kind of giving me nuggets this morning as we're singing. We say this song, we talk about Jesus being the king, our king, my king. You know what that means? That like in worship, that feels so good. We're like, yeah, you're the king. But what does that mean in our practical daily lives? That means we live a part of God's kingdom. And let me translate that in today's terms maybe. We live in God's economy. We don't live based off the economy of the world. I mean, we do to an extent because we're stuck in this world for now. But we also walk in the economy of God, which means where you go, you walk with favor, you walk with blessing, you walk with the healing power of Jesus inside of you. God's word says that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you if you have called upon the name of Jesus. Somebody needs to get excited this morning. To sum up all of Jesus' ways of serving and loving people, I think the best way I could say it to sum it up is that Jesus was available. Are you available? Or do you got somewhere to be? You're already checking your watch. Is it time for lunch? Is he going to get me out of here on time? I don't know yet. We'll see. You know, a lot of you have noticed this morning as we were walking in that Charlene left the wheelchair behind today. It is in the van, just in case. But she's got this lovely walker that her physical therapist was kind enough to let her borrow. And so she is slowly, little by little, with this walker, getting back to through the motions of putting weight on that foot and kind of rocking and rolling through that foot and all those things that she hasn't been able to do for the last couple months. And then they're going to wean her to some crutches and then to one crutch until eventually she can just walk again. But I was thinking about that as I was thinking about this word. And you know, how many of you in here have kids and you've had to teach them how to ride a bike? Okay, or maybe you even remember when you were a kid learning how to ride a bike. How many of you guys, I know there's a lot of different things now that not everybody uses training wheels anymore. How many people in here use training wheels to either learn or teach somebody to ride a bike? Okay, all right, cool. I think that God kind of does the same thing with us sometimes. I think that he gives us training wheels to learn something, kind of like a walker, until we get to the point where we have the strength to just get up and run, that we got to learn how to do it a little bit. And so on this idea of love, I think God gave us a type of training wheels all the way back in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Talk about them with your children. Do it all day long. Talk about it all the time. When you're at home, talk about it. When you're leaving, talk about it. When you're driving down the road, talk about it. When you're at the dinner table, talk about it. When you're waking up, talk about it. When you're going to bed, talk about it. Talk about it all the time. And then also in Deuteronomy, there's this one commandment that we all really love. And it says to honor your father and mother. It's training wheels. Because you know what? If we can't ever learn how to honor our father and our mother, we're never going to be able to love and honor our spouse. We're never going to be able to love and honor our teachers, our pastors, our coaches, our bosses, our neighbors. God knew we needed a sense of training wheels. Now, the illustration breaks down because we don't grow out of the need for honoring and loving our father and mother. But God calls us to love everybody eventually. But in those original 10, right, the big 10, honor your father and mother. Because God knew we had to start somewhere. And if we couldn't start at home, then we were never going to get it at all. And then he told the parents, hey, you're going to teach this to your children. That means they were constantly telling their kids, you're going to honor and love your mother. You're going to honor and love your mother. You're going to honor God, and you're going to honor and love your mother. Love God and love me. And they talked about it all the time when they were coming home, when they were leaving, when they were walking down the road. But what, in verse 6 and 7, what was the command here that they were told? So let's go back and look. So verse 6, these commandments I give you today. What commandments? Well, let's go back and look. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. In other words, love God with everything that you are, with everything that you have. Love God. He starts with, hey, there is one God. One God. In a culture and in a world of toleration that will tell you, hey, anybody's God is good enough. There is one God. Talk about it often when you're laying down at night, when you're waking up, when you're sitting at the breakfast table and the dinner table, when you're driving down the road, talk about it. There is one God, and he calls us to love people and to love him with everything that we are. Hope you guys are starting to get an idea of what love looks like. Speaking of that, let's get back to the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So what is love? What is love? We're going to read the first verse there again. Verse 1. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So what is he talking about there? He opens with, yet I will show you the most excellent way. Well, and yet, it sounds like he was in the middle of a thought there. So again, let's go back. Let's be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. Let's not just take Pastor Ben at face value and let's dig a little deeper. Let's go back before and maybe we'll read a little after the scripture to see what God is saying to make sure that I'm not just, you know, on something up here, but that I'm on the Holy Spirit. So chapter 12, we're going to start at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Eagerly desire these things. This is what Paul is saying. Hey, there's all of these gifts that you can operate in the church. You can come up here and lay hands on people and they can be healed. You might have the gift to speak a word into somebody's life. You might have those gifts. And yet he says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then verse 1, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. All of those things are great. All of those things are good. And man, I love that this church operates in them. It's wonderful, it's awesome, it's amazing, yet there is something for each and every one of you to operate in. And it is the greater gift, it is the greatest, the most excellent way. For I can do all of those things, but if I don't have love, then I am nothing. So the first thing I notice as we read this chapter today, reading through the first three verses, right? I can do all of these things, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. What I read there is it is not about me. It's not about me. You want to know what love is? It's not about me. Second thing I see. These are in verses, the next set of verses, 4-8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So the second thing it tells me what it is about, love. Love God and love people. Love God and love people. In these four verses here, 4-8, right, these are a description of what love is, what love looks like. I opened with that question, what does love look like? Paul is telling us what love looks like. God's word is telling us today what love looks like. But what I find interesting as I read this description of love, does it not also sound like a description of God? Because God is love. He is the source of all love. And you can take that and you can twist it, right? And you can not tell the full story, not tell the full gospel, but God is love. And if you think about everything else that God is, it's because God is love. God is mercy. Yes, he extended mercy to the woman out of love, but he also gave her grace to get up in power and sin no more because of love. God is just because he is love. Everything that God is because he is love. And here we see what love looks like. Love looks like God. It's not about me. It's about love. It's about God and loving him and loving the people around us. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 6, he was telling us there, to love God and to love people. And I don't know if you know this, you probably do, but Jesus echoed those words. In Mark chapter 12, Somebody was asking Jesus, he's like, man, you seem like a great teacher. You've said some awesome stuff. So tell me, what is the greatest commandment? I hope you all remember what Deuteronomy said. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love God. It is the greatest commandment that there ever was. And like unto it, love people. Love people. It's not a call to lay your life down. It's a call to pick your life up and live it in daily service for the person to your left and to your right. In the name of Jesus. The third thing that I see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's not about me. It's all about love. Loving God and loving people. And number 3, we see in verses 9 through 12, it's all about growing together. Let's just read those again real quick. Verse 9, for we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. In other words, all this stuff that we do on Sunday morning, we do in part. We are doing the best we can by the power of God. But I can tell you there has been sometimes I have spoke a word into somebody's life, and it wasn't the Spirit of God, it was the pizza I ate last night. And I missed it. Because I'm human, I'm flesh. But I'm going to take a step in faith and I'm going to keep opening my mouth to speak into somebody's life, trusting that God's grace is enough. Because I'm growing and you're growing. And so I can trust that, hey, you might not get the word right every time. You might lay hands on me for healing and I might not get it the first time. But I know that we're growing together in love. When I was a child, I talked like a child. Imagine that. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child because I was a child. But when I became a man, I put that stuff behind me. Too often, we want to stick being a child spiritually. We want to come to church on Sunday morning and we want Pastor Darren to fill us up. And we go home and we forget all about it until next Sunday and we come back. Please, sir, can I have some more? But we all have this. And if you don't have a physical one, you probably have a phone where you can pull it up in any translation that you want, and even translations side by side to read several at once. It's time to put childish things behind us. It's time to grow in our faith together. Because see, what we do in here on Sunday morning is practice for what we do when we walk out those doors. It is a safe environment for us to grow together in the giftings that God has called you in. Because I can promise you, God's gift upon your life is not just for you to use on Sunday morning between the hours of 8 and noon. God has a bigger plan for your life, and it involves loving God and loving people, which means living your life daily in service to those around you, allowing the interruptions, welcoming the children, even when they're screaming and yelling and you just can't stand it and you're in the car and there's no escape. Allow the interruptions, welcome the children, set the captives free, heal the sick, love. Love. But I can tell you this, if you aren't loving Him, it is going to be so hard to love them. That's why the greatest commandment, love God with every part of who you are, love God. Again, you're not going to get it right all the time. I'm not going to get it right all the time. But that's okay because it's not about me. I don't have to get it right all the time. Because it's not a show for me to look, hey, look how great Pastor Ben is. It's a show to say, look how great my God is. And He's your God too, and He wants to show off in you, in your workplace, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your family. Because I might be Pastor Ben, the youth pastor, but you're the pastor in your workplace. You're the pastor in your family. You're the pastor in your neighborhood, at your barbershop, at your bar, wherever it is you go, Monday through Saturday, you're the pastor there. Because I don't step foot there. God still does because He goes with you. So where does it start? Where does the growing start? Well, I go back to Deuteronomy. Let's talk about it. All the time. Talk about it at your dinner table. What does love look like for our family? What does it look like for our family to serve those around us? Talk about it with God on your way to work. God, what does it look like for me to love my coworkers today? What does it look like for me to serve those that I'm going to spend the next 8 to 10 hours with today? When you get home, when you're talking with your family again, hey, what does it look like? How do I serve you? How do I serve my spouse? How do I serve my children? How do I serve my neighbors? Am I ready to make myself available? Are you ready to make yourself available to the interruptions? Do we take time to pray for those in need or just say we're going to? Yeah, I'll pray for you. If you're John Christ, you might say, I ain't praying for that. There are some things that people don't want to pray for. But I think a lot of times, you know, especially now in the world of emojis, we can put the little praying hands. I'll pray for you. But will you? Will you? You know, the next time somebody at work, maybe they ain't saved, but they come to you and they're talking to you about something that they are going through. They're talking to you about problems with their children, problems with their spouse, problems with their health, whatever it is. And you're like, hey, man, they know you're a Christian. So you're like, hey, man, I'm going to pray for you and your family this week. Why don't you just pray for them? Hey, man, is it okay if I just grab your hand and pray for you? I know you might not believe it, but I believe in a God who can work in your children. I believe in a God who can touch your body and heal you. And I'm just going to take a moment to pray for you right here, right now. What does it look like? I think back to, man, when I was younger, maybe it might have been third grade, I don't know. There was this big thing, WWJD. We all had bracelets and t-shirts and wristbands and hats. It said WWJD. What's the sample? What would Jesus do? That's right. But I think there's a better way to ask it. What would Jesus do if he were me, in my life, in my family, with my job? What would Jesus do if he were you, in your situation, at your workplace, in your family, with the people surrounding you? What would Jesus do? What does it look like? What would Jesus do if he were in my situation? If a coworker was confiding in Jesus that he needed a healing touch, what would Jesus do? Do you think Jesus would give him some pray hand emojis and say, I hope you have a great day, good vibes? See, Jesus is the perfect picture of love. I'm going to ask if our ushers can get ready. Today we're going to take communion together. Because we're talking about love this morning. And the greatest picture of love there is in flesh is Jesus, who laid his life down, not just in death, but every day in service while he walked this earth until he went to the cross. The best picture we have of love in humanity, in the flesh, is Jesus. So if we want to grow in love, then we must remember him who is love incarnate. And there's one way that Jesus said to do that. There's one way that Jesus said to do that. If you guys want, you can go ahead and start distributing the cup and the bread. Thank you. There's one way that Jesus said to remember him. A lot of us now, today, right, we remember Jesus with this right here. Maybe you got it on a necklace. Maybe you got it hanging on the wall in your house. Maybe you post pictures of it on your Facebook and Instagram. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a symbol of God's love. It's a symbol of what God did for you and for me and for those who are left and to our right that we are called to love day in and day out. But there is a way that Jesus said, hey, I want you to remember me. And he was doing this at what we call the Last Supper, right? He's hanging out with his disciples. He's hanging out with the people that he spent the last few years with, doing ministry with, loving people with, allowing the interruptions with, welcoming the children with. Because remember, they even tried to stop him. Lord, those are the kids. You don't need them. You don't want them. Go away, kids. He said, no. Let them come. And he's sitting down to the dinner table. He's sitting down to the meal that they have time and time again with bread and with wine, right? They've got the bread, they've got the cup. It's something they do all the time. It's not like this was a holy moment that never happened before. How many of you guys like to sit down and eat every night? Remember, there's a sixth love language? God chose something that we do all the time to remember him with. Yeah, we come and we do it, you know, officially as a church, as a family of believers together. We come together and we take this. But I hope you know, and Pastor Cammie has talked about, she keeps a tub of these by your back door. Is that right? And she does this as she walks out the door, because this is something we're not just supposed to wait for church for. Jesus says, remember me in this. As you take the bread, as you take the cup, remember me. It's something we do every day. We eat and we drink. We got to do it to live. Guess what? We need Jesus to live. So this morning, I'm sorry, I'm going to take a minute here. You're going to have to hold your cup and bread for just a second here. Because before we take this together, in case there's somebody who maybe isn't yet a part of the family of God, I want to just take a moment to walk through God's love for you. The way that Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, because yes, Jesus did physically lay his life down for you and for me. God's word says that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only son who left the splendor of heaven to come down to the cradle in the dirt, to live a life amongst horrible people. For you and for me. And it says God demonstrated his love in this, that while we were enemies, while we didn't even know God, when God was the last thing on your mind, God loved you and he gave his son for you. And then he tells us that anyone who calls on the name of Jesus because of what he did, because yes, he went to the cross, he laid his life down, but he didn't keep it down. He rose 3 days later after he went to hell and he did some business there. He took the keys to the kingdom. He grabbed some people to bring with him and he rose again. That's what we remember. We don't remember a dead Savior. We remember a risen Savior. And he did it for you. He says that all that call on the name of the Lord and believe in their heart that Jesus died and rose again for you shall be saved. So if you're in this room this morning, I want everybody to keep your eyes closed. If you are in this room this morning, maybe it's the first time, or it's maybe the first time in a very long time that you have called on the name of the Lord. You're like, I've never experienced love like this before. I've never heard about love like this before. I thought it was all about toleration. If that's you here this morning, I just want you to take a moment, and in faith, I just want you to raise your hand up real quick and say, that's me. I want to call on the name of Jesus. I confess. I see your hand. Thank you. I believe that he died for me, that he rose again. All of heaven is rejoicing right now for those hands that went up. All of heaven's rejoicing because God loves you and you have just stepped into his family. So now, even those who just raised their hand, you can partake with this together with me. You can remember our Lord and Savior together. So Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together as we remember his body broken for me, for you. Thank you, Jesus. And then he took the cup. Was nothing crazy, nothing magical. Something they did all the time. And Jesus said, hey, this is the last time I'm doing this with you guys till the other side. I look forward to it. I look forward to it also. Let's take the cup together as we wait for that day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we remember you today. We remember that you are the perfect gift of love. We remember that you are the perfect picture of what love is supposed to look like. And Lord, we call upon your name. We believe, God, that you died and that you rose again. Will you all just pray that prayer with me this morning? Lord God, we confess that you are Lord. We confess that you died and that you rose again. I believe it. I declare it. Lord Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Have your way in me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're all a part of the family together. We're all heirs with children of Abraham. The promises of God are promises for you. 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, it closes with this: faith, hope, and love. All three are great. I mean, this is Faith Church, right? Faith is pretty great. Hope is pretty great. We have a hope that the world doesn't know. And love. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. And then we went back to what was before 1 Corinthians. Let's go a little bit after now. Are you with me? Chapter 14. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Follow the way of love. I think God knows what he was doing when he wrote his word. I think God knows what he was doing, because I was interested at the wording that was chosen here: follow the way of love. Remember how I said that the description of love looked a lot like the description of God? And then at the end of all this talk about love, they said, follow the way of love. Do y'all know what Christians were called in the New Testament? The way. You know what Jesus said he was? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow the way. Follow Jesus. He's the perfect picture of what love looks like. If you want to know what love looks like, get in your word. Stop waiting for Pastor Darren and Pastor Cammie to spoon feed you on Sunday morning. Get in your word and see what Jesus looks like. See what love looks like and begin to live it out in the places and the spaces that you live life. Again, the beauty of church is that it's a safe place for you to practice. Maybe you aren't quite ready yet to go into the workplace and start praying for people. But you know what? You can come in here and ask somebody, hey, is it okay if I pray with you? I feel like it's something God wants me to do, and I'm just not quite that good at it yet. Can we take a moment and just pray together? It's a great place for us to practice and hear what we're going to do out there. So some ways that you can be available this morning. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you some practical ideas of ways that you can be available, of ways that you can serve, ways that you can not necessarily lay your life down, but pick it up and live it for those around you. And we're going to start right here in this building where we all come together. We can do it in a safe place. Maybe you could stand at those doors back there and have a smile on your face and shake somebody's hand as they come in on Sunday morning. Maybe you could be standing out in the parking lot waiting for people to drive in, smiling and waving and showing them where to pull in. Maybe you can help carry the communion plates down. Maybe you can help carry the offering bags. Maybe you can make some breakfast casserole for Pastor Darren. There's a sign-up sheet out. Did everybody see it? If you didn't see it, there's a sign-up sheet. Sign up for breakfast. Make breakfast. You want to love? You want to serve? Start right here. Prayer, media, sound people, slides, worship. Everybody up here is practicing. None of us have got it down. None of us get it right 100% all the time, but we are growing together. Be an usher, you can help with the food bank. There's so many different things. I told Nick yesterday, I saw them cleaning, and I said, hey, that's another one I can add to my list. You can show up and you can vacuum, you can move chairs around. There's so many things that you can do to just start serving, to be available. to allow the interruptions, because I know it's an interruption to try and get here a little early. It's an interruption for me. It's hard. But we're growing together. We're doing the best that we can in the power that He gives us. I'm going to read that scripture one more time in another translation here. Give me a moment to get it pulled up. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, all of the way at the end. Trust steadily in God. Hope unswervingly. Love extravagantly. And the best of the three is love. Then the next chapter. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Give yourselves to the gifts God gives you. Go after a life of love as if your life depends on it, because it does. So this morning, I'm gonna call for prayer, but really it's a call to action. If God has been stirring your heart this morning, saying, hey, I want you to rise up. I want you to pick your life up and live it in service to the person to your left and the person to your right. If God is stirring the fan of flames within you to say, hey, I want you to make a breakfast casserole. I want you to stand at the back doors and smile at everybody pretty. Maybe you're nervous. Maybe you're scared. And that's okay, because we're all growing together. But if that's you this morning, I want you to come up to the front as we go through this last song. I want you to come up to the front and open up your heart before God. Open your mind and let God do in you what only He can. Because at the end of the day, we're not going to get it right. You're not going to get it right. But God is going to move in you. God is going to move through you. And He's going to use you in ways that He can never use me or Pastor Darren or Pastor Cammie or anybody up on this stage. He wants to live in you. He wants to work in you. So if that's you this morning, don't wait. Come on up now. Come up now. I want you to get up here, because there's something about getting up and moving and saying, God, I want you to do what only you can in my life. I want to go in love, in Jesus' name.